This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama and then our feature of Echo of the African Synod. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to Millennium Appointment. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Monday celebrated Mass to commemorate the solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord. The Feast of the Epiphany principally commemorates the visit of the Magi to the Christ child, and thus Jesus Christ's physical manifestation to the Gentiles. In his homily, the Holy Father recalled the fact that the star which points to Jesus is visible to everyone, and that it invites us to seek him in all things. He was reflecting on the gospel reading of the day, taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, that recounts the time of King Herod after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Then wise men from the east went to Jerusalem asking to know about the whereabouts of the child who has been born King of the Jews. And as they said, they had observed his star at its rising and had gone to pay him homage. Pope Francis in his homily explained the fact that the star speaks to us of God's dream that men and women everywhere, in all their rich variety, will together form one family that can live harmoniously in prosperity and peace. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Pope Francis presided at Mass on the Solemnity of the Epiphany with around 5,000 faithful in St. Peter's Basilica. Holy Father focused his homily on three characteristics of the star that guided the Magi to the newborn baby Jesus. He noted first that the star is bright, recalling that many rulers in Jesus' time referred to themselves with luminary imagery, often in connection with the sun. And rather than imitating their cold and artificial splendor, the star that points to Jesus at Christmas illumined others by allowing itself to be consumed, with the Pope calling it an image of selfless love. This light is the love of God, he said, who became man and gave himself to us by sacrificing his life. In a similar way, we too are called to lead others to Christ by embodying his love in closeness, compassion, and tenderness.
E come la stella col suo brillare ha guidato i magi a Betlemme, così anche noi.
We can do this without the need for extraordinary means or sophisticated methods, he said, but simply by making our hearts bright with faith, our gazes generous and welcome, our gestures and fraternal words full of gentleness and kindness. Pope Francis then noted that the star was visible to all, shining to draw everyone to Christ, not just a privileged few. By becoming man, the Son of God embraced every ethnic group, language, and people, entrusting all with the same universal mission. God calls us to reject anything that discriminates, excludes, or discards people, said the Pope, and instead to promote a strong culture of welcome, in which the narrow places of fear and denunciation are replaced by open spaces of encounter and sharing of life. Far from remaining inaccessible, he added, the star's light shows that God never forgets his people, but rather delights in seeing us build bridges of peace to encounter one another.
E questo ci porta all'ultima caratteristica della stella.
The Pope went on to note that the star's third characteristic is that it points the way, tying it to the Jubilee of Hope and our invitation to undertake pilgrimage. The light of the star, he said, frees our hearts from all that is not charity in order to encounter Christ fully, professing our faith in him and receiving the abundance of his mercy. Pope Francis concluded his homily by inviting us to embrace our early Christian moniker as followers of the way. Each of us, he said, should always seek to be generous and welcoming one another, and humble and walking together, so that we may encounter Christ and do him homage. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
During the Angelus and the Solemnity of the Epiphany, Pope Francis invited the faithful to look at how we welcome Jesus in our own lives. He exhorted Christians to pray so that, imitating the shepherds and the Magi, we too may be able to recognize Jesus close by in the poor, in the Eucharist, and in our brothers and sisters. Devin Watkins reports.
On the Solemnity of the Epiphany, Pope Francis prayed the Angelus with pilgrims in St. Peter's Square. Reflecting on the Magi's example, he invited Christians to look at how we welcome Jesus in our own lives. By imitating the shepherds and the Magi, he said, we are able to recognize Jesus close by, in the poor, in the Eucharist, in the abandoned, and in our brothers and sisters. Reflecting on the Gospel reading, Pope Francis looked at how distance and closeness come into play in the narrative. He described how closeness marked the attitude of those who welcomed the birth of Jesus, like the shepherds who rushed to see him or the Magi traveling from afar. On the other hand, distance characterized those living in Jerusalem who, although aware of the details concerning the Messiah, did not seek him out even though they were physically closer to him.
Mentre quei sapienti da lontano arrivano a trovare Gesù,
while these wise men from far away come to find Jesus, noted the Pope, those who are close by do not take one step towards the grotto in Bethlehem. He pointed to the great expense the Magi would have incurred in their travels, the time they put aside for it, and the many risks and uncertainties that they would have faced in those days. And yet, he said, the Magi overcome every difficulty to get to see the Messiah because they know that something unique has happened in the history of humanity, and they do not want to miss the event. In contrast, those who should be the happiest because they are close to the Messiah remain still and do not move. It appears, said the Pope, that they were content with what they had and did not consider it worthwhile to leave Jerusalem on such a quest. Pope Francis then invited us to ask ourselves where we lie on this spectrum of interest and indifference to God's marvels.
Siamo più simili ai pastori che la notte stessa vanno in fretta alla grotta.
Are we more like the shepherds or the Magi who seek out, visit, and recognize Jesus, he asked? Or, he wondered, are our hearts closed and insensitive to his presence among us, even in our brothers and sisters? In conclusion, Pope Francis recalled the Lord's words. All that you have done for the least of your brothers, he said, you have done it for me. I'm Devin Watkins.
January 6th is also celebrated in the Church as World Mission Childhood Day. And speaking during the Angelus on the Solemnity of the Epiphany on Monday, Pope Francis recalled this special feast and tradition instituted by Pope Pius XII in 1950. The annual World Missionary Childhood Day seeks to recognize the contribution children can make to preaching the Christian message in their own way to others. The theme for this year's edition is Go and Invite Everyone to the Banquet. And in his Angelus remarks, the Holy Father invited all the Catholic children of the world to try to pray and show solidarity to their peers from other countries. Members of the South African Council of Churches have expressed concern about the deteriorating situation in Mozambique and a warning of the fact that the ongoing post-election violence, if not stopped, can jeopardize the country's identity and fabric. The South African Council of Churches brings together representatives of the Southern African Christian Church leaders, including the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference, who, together in a statement following their virtual meeting with representatives of the Christian Council of Mozambique, referred to recent protests following the certification of the October 9th election results, which they say have plunged the nation into chaos, forcing many to forgo festive celebrations. In their 31st December 2024 message, the South African Council of Churches say the people of God in Mozambique are experiencing a black Christmas marked by violence and destruction. They go on to say that as South African Council of Churches, they acknowledge the state of extreme vulnerability that Mozambique is experiencing at a political, economic, security and social level. They warn of far-reaching consequences, saying it is their belief that the very identity and fabric of Mozambique as a country is at risk of disintegration if no definitive steps are taken to arrest the current political stalemate and return the country to a state of order and security. Street protests erupted before and after Mozambique's Electoral Commission on December 24th declared that the country's ruling party, Frelimo, had won the October 9th presidential election, extending its 49-year hold on power. The new opposition party, Podemos, and its presidential candidate, Venancio Mondlane, rejected the results that the Electoral Commission announced. Earlier, other opposition candidates, civil society groups, and observers said the election was marred by fraud. Local and international media reports say that more than 130 people have been reported killed in clashes with law enforcement agencies. In the four-page statement, the South African Council of Churches highlight reports on the situation in the Southern African nation as explained by representatives of the Christian Council of Mozambique during their virtual meeting. In Cameroon, the Catholic bishops there have convened in order to deliberate on synodality in the local context. They said the objective of their annual seminar is putting into practice the deliberations of the two-year synod on synodality that was concluded in Rome on 27th October 2024. This 48th annual seminar is being held in the Catholic Diocese of Buea. Speaking to the Catholic news agency ARCH at the start of their week-long meeting, the Secretary General of the National Episcopal Conference of Cameroon, Monsignor Paul Nyaga, said that the seminar is organized under the theme Living Synodality in Our Local Church. He explained the fact that when a synod is celebrated in Rome, it's not to stay in Rome, meaning therefore that the reflections and texts approved by the Pope are meant to guide all the people of God, bishops, priests, women, and men religious and the laity, toward making synodality a way of life. During the week-long discussions, there will be an account of what happened in Rome, but especially the bishops will try to reflect on how synodality is to be lived in the Cameroonian local churches, according to the Secretary General, speaking to Arch Africa on the sidelines of the seminar in Buea Diocese. The head of Uganda's military, who is also the son of long-standing President Yoweri Museveni, said he wanted to behead the country's most prominent opposition leader. Muhoozi Kainerugaba is widely believed to be the heir apparent to his father, who has governed Uganda since 1986. Kainerugaba routinely makes inflammatory posts on social media. In a post on X on Sunday evening, Kainerugaba said his father was the only person protecting opposition leader Bobi Wine from him. Bobi Wine, whose legal name is Robert Kyagulanyi, and who finished second to Museveni in the 2021 presidential election, responded on X that he did not take the threat lightly, saying there had been several previous attempts on his life. The government spokesperson has previously said Kainerugaba's social media posts should be understood as casual comments and not taken seriously or as reflecting government policy. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. The Daughters of St. Paul, commonly known as the Pauline Sisters from Angola, Mozambique and South Africa, recently met at Lumco in Benone, South Africa, in preparation for their congregation's 12th General Chapter, which is scheduled to take place in Rome in September this year. During the 27th to the 31st December meeting, some 20 delegates from the three countries discussed the theme, Impelled by the Fire of the Spirit in Listening to Contemporary Humanity, We Communicate the Gospel of Hope. Sheila Purish caught up with one of the participants on the sidelines of the meeting.
My name is Maria Segunda, and I belong to the Congregation of the Daughters of St. Paul, and I'm from Angola. Currently, I'm working in Maputo, and I'm very happy to be there with the people of Maputo.
Sister, thank you so much for talking to us right here on Vatican News. So you're meeting here in South Africa for your chapter. Talk to us about this meeting. What is the theme and what have you discussed so far?
The major theme is always to see first the reality of this generation. We are seeing how, as daughters of St. Paul, we can move with this humanity which is developing every day. This is our concern. This is the major thing that we are thinking as community. And as we are communicators of the Word of God, we have to see the signs of the times. We have to walk with the same direction of the humanity so that we shall not be backwards. So we have to be at the same level with the humanity, but also communicating the gospel value through the means of social communication.
So speaking of communicating the gospel during the Synodal Assembly in 2024, we spoke a lot about the role of religious sisters and about the digital environment, how we as church were encouraged to be digital missionaries as well. So talk to us about this synodal journey and, of course, going into the Jubilee year as lots of dioceses across the world opened or launched the Jubilee year on the 29th of December. Talk to us about these two phases of the church.
First of all, I would like to share that the Jubilee is a special year. In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, they used to celebrate also the Jubilee, but after 7 years. And the Great Jubilee was happening after 49 years. Then for us, it is like 50 years now. And this Jubilee reminds us that it is a time of prayer and peace. We know that in different countries, we are facing challenging moments. So this year of Jubilee, it also reminds us that we have to pray for the humanity. We have to pray for different nations, especially those nations who are facing different challenges. And Pope Francis opened the Holy Door on 24th, you know, December. And in this case, we can say that this is the first Jubilee that we are living in our sanctuary. This is the first. So the major theme of this Jubilee is we have to be pilgrims of hope. And looking at the social media, this is what we are called to do so as religious, especially us as daughters of St. Paul. We use the means of social communication. But to do what? To communicate which hope? And who is our hope? Our hope is Jesus. And this hope, we have to be courageous to communicate it to different nations. We see that many people are losing hope. So we, as daughters of St. Paul and other religious, we are invited first to pray and also to communicate Jesus through the means of social communication regarding to this Jubilee that the church is living.
Any last remarks, especially seeing that you are living in Mozambique and the dire situation in that country?
Well, it is challenging. Yeah, it is challenging. First of all, I can say that I'm a young missionary. I'm just 23. So it is challenging because, first of all, I've never lived in a situation like that. But I can say that as the daughters of St. Paul, we are trying our best to continue to do the mission in spite of different challenges that the country is facing. For example, in our Archdiocese of Maputo, we are able to open also the Holy Door. In this context of Jubilee, we opened at the cathedral. It was opened by Archbishop João Carlos Atoa Nunes, and also at the sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima in Namasha. We are also able to open, thank God, and also in the parish of St. Jerome in Magude. We are able to have this ceremony that the church invites us also to do so. In spite of different challenges, but we are able to bring Jesus slowly to the people. But it is a challenging moment, but it's not impossible to do our work as missionaries. And we are with the people.
Your message as we head into a new year?
My message is that, first of all, I would like to pray for all families, especially those who have been affected by the cyclone in Mozambique. I speak that because this is the reality that also I'm coming. Many families have been affected by this natural calamity. So my wish is that they may continue to trust in God, and God is also with them. even on those challenging moments. And also for all of you who are listening to me, I wish you a happy new year and continue being this pilgrim of hope, because our humanity really needs a words of encouragement and also a words of hope. And we have to communicate every day Jesus Christ.
That was Sister Maria Segunda, a Pauline sister from Angola working in Mozambique. She was speaking to our colleague Sheila Pirish. And that's all for this edition on this solemnity of the Epiphany of our Lord. But before we go, here is a song by the African Children's Choir titled Shepherd's Carol. I am Festus Tarawali.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. Most Catholic dioceses in Africa opened the holy doors of churches last Sunday, December 29th, to inaugurate the ordinary Jubilee year 2025. The Archbishop of Bamenda in English-speaking Cameroon, His Grace Andrew Nkeya, opened the second holy door on December 31st, in a place known as Abango, in the presence of hundreds of the faithful. In his reflection, he explained the history behind the tradition of opening the holy doors and the meaning behind it.
This act of opening the holy door and declaring the holy year began in the Catholic Church in the year 1300 by Boniface VIII. And since then, it has become a tradition for all of us that every 25 years, the holy door will be open to give us the chance to pass through that door and get plenary indulgence on three conditions: reception of the sacrament of reconciliation, reception of the Holy Eucharist, and the third condition is to do a corporal work of mercy. When we do this, it is without doubt that every time we pass through this door, we are leaving the world behind us and we're embracing the kingdom of God, which is before us.
Bishops are free to choose the church whose holy door they will open in the holy year. Some chose their cathedrals, but others chose other churches.
I chose this chapel, which has the Blessed Sacrament, the chapel of perpetual adoration in this shrine of Our Lady, this shrine of the Divine Mercy, so that every time we are passing through this door, it is like what we read in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, Vidiaquam, we see water flowing from the right side of the temple, purifying God's children and making them clean again. And therefore, this is a very strong tradition of our church. For more than 700 years, we have had this tradition of opening the holy door and going through the holy door. This door we are passing is the door into the kingdom, a symbol of the saints who enter into the kingdom of God. And therefore, while we pass through this one, we look forward to the time when we shall all pass through that one and only door, Jesus Christ, to enter the kingdom of God, where Jesus lives and reigns with the Father, in unity with the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Some dioceses have not yet opened the holy doors for one reason or another, but they will open them. Archbishop Nkeya invited the faithful, especially those who passed through the holy door 25 years ago, to be grateful to God for protecting them in the last 25 years, particularly in Bamenda, where a civil war is taking place between rebels and government forces, and for the benefits they received from the Almighty.
God has given us a chance to be alive these 25 years. For some of us, 25 years is a long time. Definitely, I will not be the Bishop of Bamenda again in 25 years. So this may be my last holy door to open as Archbishop of Bamenda. If the Pope declares an extraordinary year, we can open another door. But ordinary year, there is no way. And for many people here, calculate 25 years and add on your years. And see whether you see another holy year. Make maximum use of this world to pass through this door with love, with openness of heart, and with confidence in God. Number one, the confidence of His mercy, that He will forgive your sins because of His love and mercy, not because of our own merit. Number two, He is going to give us the grace to be able to face the new 25 years with courage, and have that courage to face the things that will come our way, and to be able to love one another.
Archbishop Andrew Nkeya concluded his reflection, reminding the faithful that the Holy Year is a profound celebration of faith, reflection, and spiritual renewal. He prayed that it offers them a unique opportunity for spiritual growth, healing, and unity. I am John Baptist Tumusime.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.